Welcome to the Cognac Expert Calendar podcast, hosted by Taylor.
So today, we actually don't have a cognac brand or a cognac house to feature. Instead, we've got one of these secret cognacs. So no producers speaking with me today, but I do have Max. Max, how's it going?
It's going very well, thank you. Very excited about this one.
Same. So I can give really basic overview of what we're tasting today, but details are a little thin. So this is a 1994 official vintage Fambois cognac, and it comes from a professional distiller. Max, what do you know about professional distillers and some of these other professions in the cognac industry?
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. So it's good that we have some secret secret distiller, secret producer cognacs in our calendar this year, because it also somehow shows or maybe like educates a little bit on how the cognac business or the region, the structure works, right? So if you think about it, there are like around 270 cognac houses in the cognac region, and they're much more vintners, so basically the growers in the region. I believe it's just over 4,000 growers in the region. There are only like 120 professional distillers. And I understand this is coming from a professional distiller, right?
That's my understanding, mm-hmm. Yep. It could also be coming from a grower distiller, but certainly a producer that doesn't have his or her own brand. For sure.
Yeah. It's interesting because like that's just like an example. It's not coming from them, but like Marancheville, for example. So the brand Marancheville is a cognac brand created by Grégoire and Laurent. And they are originally professional distillers. Do they own their own vineyard? Yes. So technically they are grower distillers, right? I do believe they come from they were pure distillers. Not 100% sure. Yeah. And for example, we in Beaulieu, we are just vignerons now, new sort of vintners, growers, amateur, still. For everyone who knows the story, what happened with our first harvest. And so for example, so Grégoire distills for different houses, but the biggest, obviously, as he's right next to Jarnac, actually, I think. The distillery is in Jarnac, technically. I'm not so sure.
Very close, yeah.
Yeah.
Not in Jarnac exactly, but close, yeah.
Yeah, very close. And they distill for Courvoisier. So you have tons of vintners and growers, and then you have these distillers who have like little parks of alum. I mean, little. They have, I mean, Grégoire has like a pretty big park of like a bigger distilling operation over there going on. And he does keep some barrels from time to time, I believe. And maybe it's that, right? And from a distiller, but there are small distillers and there are like big distillers with, I don't know, like a pack of alembics, for example, like, I don't know, 10, 20, 30 alembics in a row. Yeah. So super interesting. Anything to add?
I would just echo what you already said, that you know, Grégoire at Marancheville is a perfect example. They've got several chais full of barrels, and that's just a mere fraction, like 1 or 2% of their annual production that they keep. They, in the case of Marancheville, they actually have their own brand, but there are plenty of other distillers that don't. They still keep barrels, but they don't have a brand, and it's just they've got stock, old stock, sitting, and this is what we have here in this 1994 Fambois. I can also say that it's at 47% alcohol. There was a small reduction. Of course, the color is natural. There's no sugar, anything like that added, and it does show a lot of the characteristics of Fambois, but it also shows sort of a rough is not the right word, but a vigor that we find in cognacs that haven't been blended, that haven't been worked. And it's just a nice way to see a different cognac from somebody who doesn't have a brand to.
Yeah. So many. And when you say 1994, do we know when it was bottled?
Well, this year.
It's not bottled, actually. It was bottled for a calendar.
Of course.
So this thing is still aging. this was bottled for our calendar. And yeah. Because it was a vintage, right? They had to go through the whole process to get the huissier, is that a civil servant to come and or a notary to certify everything. But yeah, it was bottled once for us and it's still aging.
So that means if people go crazy and say, wow, this is really an interesting cognac and so on, does the distiller then basically expect from us to give him feedback, which we will obviously, is there like any chance that this could see the day of light as a bottling or so, if people like it?
I operate under the assumption that everything's possible. And I have already asked that with this person. Yeah. And I think anything is possible, sure. The big question would be what alcohol level we would want an eventual bottling to be. Because right now it's at 47, but that was a choice that we made. I think it would be interesting to do a bunch of different tests to try it at 43, to try it at 45, to try it at 47, to try it at 50. I think it's in its mid, it's in like the low to mid 50s right now.
Okay, that was my question.
Yeah.
Mm. And yeah, because I often feel that Fambois, but especially Bombois, could use a little bit of a punch as it ages so quickly. I mean, Bombois obviously ages super fast. This is Fambois, which ages not as fast, but certainly faster than, I don't know, Grand Champagne for sure. Depending a little bit on the soil, right? We know that there is Fambois, which is very similar to Petit Champagne, as it's so close, or even like some argue that it's very close to Grand Champagne soil. And there certainly is. There are certain fields and certain soils that are like that. So we do not know where exactly it's coming from the Fambois, right? We don't have any specification. Yeah. It's such a huge area. So, okay, that's super interesting. But I think it's very good that was not, you know, reduced to like 40 or so. It's often with Fambois, it can get a little bit boring.
Well, great. If you wonder where 47 came from, well, it was just, I did
flip the coin.
Yeah, not quite flip the coin, but I did some approximative tests, you know, in the office with this, and that seemed to be a decent number. But that's definitely up for debate, and I'm sure it would be fascinating to try this at a bunch of different ones more precisely than what I did. And yeah, it's interesting.
Great. Fantastic. I love it that we have these secret cognacs this year. Really great to have these secret ones. So to mix it up a little bit. And I think that's it, right? We can't say, there's not much more to say. We'll just find out what the feedback is. So please, everyone, enjoy. And also feel free to drop a photo in our Facebook group, Cognac Lovers. You all know that. If you are not a member of Cognac Lovers, please go there and become a member and let us know what you think. Yeah,
absolutely. Agreed.
You can find the link to the Cognac Lovers group into the show notes. A fantastic group of cognac lovers, as the name says. So.
Perfect. Well, Max, thanks for chatting with me.
Sure. My pleasure. Thanks, Taylor.
See ya.
Thank you for listening to the Cognac Expert Calendar podcast. Tomorrow is another day, another cognac.